Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you, on my rocking bicycle. And it is Friday, February 17th, 2023, says the calendar. Thanks for tuning in to Out There today. For today's show, I don't know what I'm going to play, but I got a bunch of bike songs lined up, and Carmageddon is on my mind. Because today I had to, so my friend Adele and I, thanks to Nick Richard from Bike Talk, Nick set us up with running a bike club at JFK, the middle school, an after-school bike club. They have a bunch of clubs after school at JFK, and so Adele and I are doing a bike club. Right now it's just one afternoon a week. But in order to do that, I had to like get fingerprinted and fill out all this paperwork for this very, very minimal kind of job thing. Paid $35 to get fingerprinted. I don't know why I had to get fingerprinted. The FBI already has my fingerprints from multiple incidents. But I guess they probably look different now than the last time I got fingerprinted because they got some new scars and things. Oh, the fingerprinter guy didn't even try to do my pinky. It was too hard to roll with the old out-of-joint finger that I got there. Anyway, so I had to go to Hadley. They have this fingerprinting site. Well, so when I signed up for it online, I registered online, got an appointment online, and I wasn't paying too much attention to where I was supposed to go. It just said, like, I don't know, Westgate, something or other in Hadley. And I thought, West? Hadley? Oh, that's probably the most western part of Hadley. Like, when you first go across the river, you know, they got, like, the, I don't know, it used to be, like, the Christmas tree shops or something there by Long Radio. I thought it was that whole collection of office buildings and stuff, you know, West. So I ride there. Fortunately, I'm about 10 minutes early for my appointment, and I'm in that parking lot with the offices and different stores around on the west side of Hadley, and it didn't look like any place to get fingerprinted to me. Fortunately, there was a UPS driver, so I asked him, hey, do you know if there's like a west something or other in Hadley? And he was like, oh, maybe you mean like Westgate Road or something like that. Oh, that's on the other side of Hadley, like by Staples and stuff near the Amherst line. And I was like, oh. And so I jumped on my bike and I booked it down Route 9. Fortunately, it was 10 o'clock in the morning and not rush hour. But I mean, there was no shortage of cars. There was no shortage of cars and pavement and big hulking obstacles going much faster than me on the 4-lane. But I just took my lane and had my bright hat and my bright jacket on and pedaled very fast. And I got there. I guess I was like 10 minutes late because it took me like, I don't know, 20 minutes. Another 15, 20 minutes to get there. But Route 9, that's an unpleasant place. Route 9 and all those stores and things, that is an unpleasant place for the human soul. In my humble opinion. So, he says, so I get to the fingerprint place. I was a little late, so I had to wait a while, but I was still a little sweaty when it came my turn. And the guy said he had to take a picture of me, too. So I yanked off my hat. And I think my sweaty hair must have been sticking up every which way because he was like, are you ready? And I was like, yes. And they said not to smile, and it was pretty easy to glare for that picture, seeing as how I felt. Then I cruised around Hadley and did some other things. Went to Hampshire Bike Exchange, rooted around for bike parts. They have an amazing pile of scrap bikes behind Hampshire Bike Exchange on University Drive that you're welcome to pick from. And I'm extra motivated to pick for parts right now because my collection of bikes, part of my collection of bikes, is supposed to go to Haiti sometime this month. Yep, the ship has left port. So I was just scrapping parts, brake arms, brakes, seats, pedals are always useful. And, then I hit the Aldi's dumpster on the way back. Got pears and oranges and onions and a couple bananas. And then I kept on riding back. Then the wind whipped up and the rain. I didn't think I was going to get back from Hadley the way the wind was coming out of the west, blowing across the farm fields. And I was on the path with my rain cape catching the wind like a sail, trying to just move on forward. That was earlier today. Now it is 4:05, according to the studio clock. You're listening to Out There. And I do have one fresh interview for today that my housemate across the other side of the duplex, Derek Goodwin. I pestered him at 3:00 this afternoon. This is what Derek had for me.
Tonight, the Bhakti Barnacle Band will be playing at Yoga Sanctuary in Northampton, the Top of Thorns Marketplace, 7:00. By donation, you can come sing with us, call and response, kirtans. We're honoring the Hindu deity Shiva, who's got a holiday coming up tomorrow for Hindus called Shivaratri. But this one is actually a Krishna mantra, the Maha mantra. So this is a little preview. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then the audience would chant that all back. And then we would speed up a little as we go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And everyone will be clapping and chanting and stomping and dancing, and then we'll slow down at the end. And we'll get real mellow and spiritual vibe going back to the beginning. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. I'd love to see anybody there. Wants to have an amazing time.
Thanks, Derek.
You're welcome.
What does it all mean?
What does it all mean? Well, that mantra is called the Maha mantra. Maha means great in Sanskrit. So if you've ever seen the Hare Krishnas playing somewhere, that's their main mantra. That's all they chant. They have many different variations of it, but they're very Krishna-centered. Krishna-focused. Krishna is their deity, just like Jesus is the Christian deity. But as you probably know, Hinduism is vast, and there's a lot of deities, and some are more drawn towards Shiva, some are more drawn towards one of the goddesses, like Saraswati. For me and most Western yoga practitioners, we love them all, and they're all the same. They're all just like fractals of the same divine source. So, and we are too. So chanting brings us closer. We kind of, as a call and response practice, you start to let go of your little self, your ego, and you're joining with a group of other people and chanting to this higher concept of divinity or just being in tune with the universe, however you feel. There's no kind of like you have to do this and worship this way and do this, but it's just a very free-flowing experience. And so Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu. Vishnu is the aspect of the divinity. There's the Brahma, who is the creator. Vishnu is the maintainer. And then Shiva is the transformer, the destroyer. So Vishnu is popular because he keeps things kind of the way they are a little bit. He's not coming and creating the apocalypse or starting us over from scratch. So very popular aspect of the divine. And Krishna is a incarnation that came. Vishnu incarnates over and over, so there's many incarnations, and each one is kind of specific to the time. Krishna came in a time when things were getting too serious and kind of conservative, and he came as a kind of playful, wild deity that played flute, and people would come listen to him in the forest, and he would, as a baby, he stole butter and played practical jokes on people and things. So that's about it.
Thanks, Derek. Wow, what a great answer. I should interview you more often.
That was Derek Goodwin. Derek actually used to have a show on Valley Free Radio with Megan Shackelford. They did vegan radio here on Valley Free Radio for like 4 years, I think, from 2005 to 2009, something like that, back when Valley Free Radio first started. His talk about the Hare Krishna, that reminds me, when I was in New Orleans, that was like, I spent a couple of winters in New Orleans in like 2001, and associate the Hare Krishnas with the temple or the group in New Orleans that made a meal, really good food, really good food. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And, so I mentioned in my intro 10 minutes ago about the Haiti project, this project to collect bikes. No, I've already collected. I've already collected many, many. I got more than I can fit on the boat. But I've been waiting for this boat. It's a 97-foot Ketch, which I think is a boat with a bunch of sails. And it also has a diesel motor. But I've been waiting for the boat to leave Yucatan, where it's been in port. It's heading for Miami to pick up supplies, or maybe it's headed to Norfolk, Virginia to pick up supplies. I hope so. But yeah, it's been in Yucatan getting ready for the journey, and it left on Wednesday. Finally, we thought it was going to leave around Christmas. That was Christmas. That's like December, and now we're in February. We thought it was going to leave a couple months ago. Well, I didn't really think it was going to leave a couple months ago. But anyway, it's left. It's headed for the United States to pick up supplies. I think it'll pick up somebody wants to send some solar panels. There may be some medications and stuff. And then there's a bunch of bicycles who are trying to send maybe 50 or 60 bicycles. The Zipard, that's the name of it. Okay, so there's actually a online map of the ship's progress as it's being satellite tracked or something like that. And I just clicked on it on my computer phone device, to remind myself of the name of the ship. And as I look at its progress in the ocean off the coast of Progreso, in the Yucatan, it appears that it's made a big figure eight and is headed back south. Well, at some point, this ship may arrive in the United States and take some bikes to Haiti. And when that does happen, we will be trying to load about an 8-foot by 8-foot by 8-foot cubes worth of bikes and stuff on a truck or trailer, truck and or trailer, and drive it. Did I say drive? Well, I did say drive. Yes. Yes, I'm going to participate in this evil system. I'll talk about Carmageddon a little bit later. But yes, I will try to drive, get someone to drive, since I don't drive, get someone to drive these bikes to either Virginia or Florida sometime in the next month, I hope. I don't need any more bikes right now, not for this project. But of course, well, I won't say of course, but I'm always looking for parts like seats and pedals. Yeah, my experience with the Trinidad project, seats and pedals, they wear out, and a bike is a hard thing to ride without seats or pedals. Yeah, well, this is a good segue into the Flowbots.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
Look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crooked-y. I can show you how to do-si-do, I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem, I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus, me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took, I can do anything that I want. Cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine, 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run a business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance, cause I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule, of a molecule, of a molecule.
That's the Flowbots from 2008, I believe. And now, welcome back to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Now I'm going to read an excerpt from this book entitled Cartoons by Andy Singer. And this is this two-page section is called Carmageddon, a short history of the car. How did we end up with all these cars? As with everything in life, the reasons are varied. Some are innocent, some utopian, and some are selfish and evil. To people at the beginning of the 20th century, cars and internal combustion engines seemed less polluting than the piles of horse manure that filled many city streets. In America, Cars and trucks also appealed to many, particularly rural people, who had experienced the monopolistic railroad practices of the late 1800s. Utopians like Henry Ford, Adolf Hitler, and many far kinder and gentler folks preached of democratizing the automobile and of its potential to liberate society, both physically and spiritually. By the way, there's some quotes from Adolf Hitler I may come back to. They constructed the early parkways and autobahns and were the first to mass-produce cars. These idealist and utopian themes were then picked up and paraded about by auto manufacturers, oil companies, and their advertisers and lobbyists, who said cars and buses would be cheaper and more efficient than trains and trolleys. When lobbying and advertising didn't work, oil and car companies resorted to outright criminal activity. Led by General Motors, they secretly conspired to create National City Lines, a transit front company that took over and ripped up 100 commuter rail networks in 45 U.S. cities, replacing them with buses. By the Depression of the 1930s, intensive lobbying and advertising had produced a Works Project Administration and other U.S. government relief efforts that favored roads, bridges, and tunnels for cars. To build these highway networks, governments created quasi-public agencies, often by using bonds. These agencies, or authorities, were inherently anti-democratic. To this day, they function almost like independent sovereign states. They have the power of eminent domain to seize private property, the power to levy taxes or tolls, and the power to govern and police their domains according to their own laws. Their directors are usually appointed by mayors, governors, or presidents, and once appointed, they can be very hard to remove. The ability to spend billions of dollars in federal and state funds gives highway agencies and their directors incredible political power. All this money represents thousands of jobs and huge profits for engineering and construction firms. Consequently, unions, trade associations, and many other well-organized groups can be called upon to support highway projects. Politicians who oppose these projects can find themselves quickly voted out of office. Since their creation in the 1930s and 40s, U.S. highway agencies, like giant living organisms, have tried to grow, feeding themselves with public tax money. By the late 1940s, they had become a powerful lobbying government and were regularly advocating for and building huge automobile bridges, tunnels, and freeways. Combined with car manufacturers and oil companies, they formed a giant American auto-industrial complex, which by 1956 had produced the Interstate Highway Act, gas tax revenues, and billions of dollars in additional federal and state subsidies. When their bridges and highways began to fill with cars, the highway lobby built new roads and widened old ones in the name of reducing traffic and improving safety. When these new roads also filled up, officials assured the public that building still more roads would alleviate the problem. Today, American highways are as congested and accident-ridden as ever, yet highway agencies continue to promise that building even more roads will solve the problem. As early as the 1960s, traffic engineers found that more roads just generated more traffic. Numerous studies and history itself now show that traffic expands to fill available road space until some tolerable level of congestion is reached. Engineers call this phenomenon traffic generation, the Downs-Thompson paradox, or Bress's paradox. If new lanes are added to relieve road congestion, speed increases and trip times decrease, but demand also increases until you're back to the same congested roads. In general, building highways is an ineffective way to move large masses of people. An automobile lane can carry a maximum of just 1,500 cars per hour. By contrast, a single track of transit can carry 40,000 to 50,000 people per hour. In July 1998, even the EPA ruled that highway expansion increases driving. And since cars affect air quality, it required that traffic generation be factored into transportation improvement plans. The author says, certainly I've seen this in Berkeley, California, where Caltrans has widened Interstate 80 twice to 5 lanes in each direction, yet congestion is worse than ever. As far as improving safety, widening and straightening roads only increases highway speeds, and speed kills. A pedestrian is 10 times more likely to be killed by a car going 30 miles per hour than by one going 15 miles an hour. For drivers, too, faster cars increase the risk of severe injury or death. You can achieve safety without straightening roads or ripping up trees. So, no matter what country you live in, think about all this the next time some highway agency tells you they need to widen a road or build a new one to improve the flow of traffic. History has shown their promises to reduce traffic congestion or lies. Tell them they can go to hell. That's from Cartoons by Andy Singer. I'll look for some more quotes from that book at some point. But after all that gloom and doom and Carmageddon, how about some Shakira?
Que sepan que algún día demuestras en Tayrona, después no querráis ir pa' Barcelona.
All right. Some of the English translation to that is like, take me on your bike. Hey, Carlos, take me on your bike. I want us to travel this zone together from Santa Marta to La Arenosa. Take me on your bike so that we can play ball and the chancleta. And my heart is beating for you, et cetera, et cetera. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And I feel like I was going to say something, but I don't know what it was. So I guess I'll play another song. And this one is Los Mismos, El Puente.
Tengo miedo al avión. También tengo miedo al barco. Por eso quiero saber lo que debo hacer para cruzar el charco. Por eso quiero saber lo que debo hacer para cruzar el charco. Yo sabría esperar, porque el tiempo no me importa. Si construyeran un puente desde Valencia hasta Mallorca. Si construyeran un puente desde Valencia hasta Mallorca. Será maravilloso viajar hasta Mallorca. Sin necesidad de bicicleta o autostop. Será maravilloso viajar hasta Mallorca. Sin necesidad de tomar el barco o el avión. Solo caminando en bicicleta o autostop. Tengo miedo al avión, también tengo miedo al barco, por eso quiero saber lo que debo hacer para cruzar el charco. Por eso quiero saber lo que debo hacer para cruzar el charco. Yo sabría esperar, porque el tiempo no me importa. Si construyeran un puente desde Valencia hasta Mallorca. Si construyeran un puente desde Valencia hasta Mallorca. Será maravilloso viajar hasta Mallorca. Sin necesidad de tomar el barco o el avión. Solo caminando en bicicleta o autostop. Será sin necesidad de tomar el barco o el avión, solo caminando en bicicleta o autostop.
That was from Los Mismos, from 1968. The English and English translation is, I have a fear of flying. I also have a fear of boats, so I want to know what I can do to cross the water. I will wait because I don't care how long it takes if they build a bridge from Valencia to Mallorca. It'd be marvelous to travel to Mallorca without needing to take a boat or a plane, only traveling by bike or bus. It would be marvelous to travel to Mallorca without needing to take a boat or plane, only traveling by bike or bus. That's the theme of that song. It's interesting, though, because in my previous reading from this book, Cartoons, I was talking about infrastructure and bridges and such. Well, here's some other quotes from Cartoons by Andy Singer. Here's a quote. This is a quote from André Gorce. Unlike the vacuum cleaner, the radio, or the bicycle, which retain their use value when everyone has one, the car, like a villa by the sea, is only desirable and useful insofar as the masses don't have one. That's how in both conception and original purpose, the car is a luxury good, and the essence of luxury is that it cannot be democratized. If everyone can have luxury, no one gets any advantages from it. On the contrary, everyone diddles, cheats, and frustrates everyone else, and is diddled, cheated, and frustrated in return. And there's a picture on that page of a big traffic jam. And here's another quote. Okay, so that quote was from Andre Gorz, G-O-R-Z. I don't know how to say that. From a book entitled La Ideologie Sociale de la Bagnole from 1973. Now here's a word from Ivan Illich from his Energy and Equity book. The typical American male devotes more than 1,600 hours a year to his car. He sits in it while it goes, and while it stands idling, he parks it and searches for it. He earns the money to put down on it and to meet the monthly installments. He works to pay for petrol, tolls, insurance, taxes, and tickets. He spends 4 of his 16 waking hours on the road or gathering his resources for it. The model American puts in 1,600 hours to get 7,500 miles, less than 5 miles per hour. From Ivan Illich, Energy and Equity, 1973. Less than 5 miles an hour. You know, if I were to calculate the time I spend fixing my bike and making money to buy bike parts and all that, I wonder what it would come to. And then when you calculate the speed that I move on my bike, when I'm hauling a trailer, that's real slow. All right, how about Serafine Subiri pedaleando?
Despacio, cuando no hay nada.
Serafin Zubiri. I think that was for a bike race in Spain in 1988. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I don't know if that last, during that last break between songs when I was talking, if I remembered to turn the mic up or not. Maybe it was just quiet air and you missed the quote from Ivan Illich. Well, I have another quote from Ivan Illich. This one's a mouthful. After this mouthful of words of quote, then I'll have a simpler one from Andy Singer. To expand life beyond the radius of tradition without scattering it to the winds of acceleration is a goal that any poor country could achieve within a few years. But it's a goal that will be reached only by those who reject the offer of unchecked industrial development made in the name of an ideology of indefinite energy consumption. That's from Ivan Illich's writing, Energy and Equity, 1973. Andy Singer says, he has a cartoon here, when you're going fast, the road seems real smooth. But all of a sudden, you lose control. In a painful blur of blood and bone, you come to a sudden stop and remember how hard and rough the road really is. Don't be seduced by speed. And here's a quote from Lois Mumford. In the mechanized high-energy system developed during the last two centuries, there's only one efficient speed, faster. Only one attractive destination, farther away. Only one desirable size, bigger. Only one rational quantitative goal, more. That's from Lois Mumford's The Pentagon of Power, 1970. One more quote before we listen to another song is, car culture has pervaded our very language. We invest in airports and roads, but we subsidize public transit. Look at the numbers. In 1998, cars got five times more U.S. federal money than transit. Okay, if you're wondering about the dates of some of these quotes, in the 1998 statistics, this book was written, copyright 2001. But a lot of it, I mean, the numbers have changed some, but, you know, the principles remain the same. We're still trying to do more, faster, bigger, etc.
Cada giro de la estrella le da cuerda a la paciencia en la resistencia ante el flujo vial. Tal vez lo más progresista pueda ser lo más sencillo, cual dos tobillos sobre pedal. Cuando la ciudad va llena, una noble maquinaria en la vida diaria podrá ayudar. Y es un cuadro equilibrado que se echa a andar tan solo con los alvéolos al respirar. Te hallaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril para nosotros ya. Puede darte varios cambios, del manubrio a los pedales hay muchos males por reducir. Siempre hay estacionamiento, matas el estrés un rato y es más barato, dímelo a mí. Vámonos bajando panza, vámonos limpiando vena con la cadena que hace fluir. Vámonos al teatro en bici, a la chamba y a la escuela, hasta el bicinema o hasta de aquí. Te hallaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril para nosotros ya. Anda en bici la banda, porque tiene su qué sé yo, cada vez más demanda, porque es mágica, poco no. Ya súbase a la bici, compa, trépese a la de montaña, a la bici urbana o a la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica.
estática o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá, que nos vayan dejando un carril para nosotros ya. Anda en bici la banda, porque tiene su qué sé yo, cada vez más demanda, porque es mágica, poco no, cumbia para las biclas que nos mueven de allá para acá, a ver si ya reciclan un carril para nosotros ya.
That was El David Aguilar. I think that was written for a campaign in Mexico City to get more bike lanes. And the English English translation is something like, well, one thing it will say is perhaps the most progressive is also the most simple, riding a bike. When the city is full, a noble machine in daily life can help. It's a well-balanced frame. Anyway, clean air, exercise, that song. So next on Out There. Oh, yeah, I wanted to read about Kitty Knox. This actually came to my attention through the Northampton Trails email newsletter from yesterday, I think. Kitty Knox. Catherine Towle Knox was a bicycle racer and the first African-American to be accepted into the League of American Wheelmen. Knox joined the League of American Wheelmen in 1893, at a time when few women were members. The organization changed their constitution to only allow white members in 1894. In 1895, the organization clarified that constitutional changes are not retroactive, and Knox's membership in the group was no longer questioned. Knox persisted in racing, despite sometimes being denied access to races, as well as service by restaurants and hotels while traveling. Knox was known both for her cycling ability, taking first place in a League of American Wheelmen meeting in Waltham, Massachusetts, as well as her fashionable cycling outfits. Unlike her male counterparts of the time, much attention was given to her appearance and wardrobe. She was a strong rider, participating in and completing several century rides. That was Kitty Knox from the late 1800s here in Massachusetts. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And before I forget, let me mention Bike Lab. There will be Bike Lab tomorrow, Saturday.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004.
From 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
For the best in electro, new wave, funk, and dance, tune into Subculture Friday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Listen from your computer, iPad, or phone by tuning into valleyfreeradio.org. Subculture Friday nights here on WXOJ.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert. Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. Here's something I forgot to mention. Just a little story. So I haul trash for a living and also sort cans at Cans for Cancer sometimes. And in both of these situations, I have an eye on scrap metal dumpsters sometimes. And I've noticed recently a lot of pots and pans in the scrap metal dumpsters. And I'm wondering if with more attention given to using induction stoves, maybe people are getting rid of non-magnetic pots and pans. I also read something recently about, this is from some energy-saving newsletter. It said to throw out your pots and pans that have warped bottoms. Well, my friends, no, don't throw out your pots and pans that have warped bottoms or non-magnetic bottoms. Give them away. There's lots of people with gas stoves. There's lots of people that I'm going to send a bunch of pots and pans, I think, to Haiti. There's lots of people around the world that cook with open flames. I've been finding really nice, like, stainless steel, like, thick bottom aluminum clad or something, copper clad, stainless steel or something like that. Lots of pots and pans. So, don't throw them away. Put them out in a free pile or give them to the Goodwill or Salvation Army or something like that. This is Op de Fitz.
Op de fiets, op de fiets, op een oude fiets van niets. Ga je overal naartoe en lekker snel. Op de fiets, op de fiets, op een oude fiets van niets. Op een oude fiets met remmen en op de fiets, op een oude fiets van niets. Rij je naar de verste verte in een tel. Op de fiets, op de fiets, op een oude fiets van niets. Op een oude fiets met remmen en een bel.
Fiets, I think that means bicycle in some language.
What is existence without le vélo? What is life? What is love? Without this, there is nothing. Can you feel it when you burn it? This is where it starts to go. Everywhere you go, everyone you know. On the road, in the club, everyone you know does.
It's impossible to stop when you start to feel it. Can't you believe it, that the whole world needs it.
All through the day and all through the night, riding and dancing, you know I feel so right. There is nothing better than the movement of the body. That's the way it's got to be. Obsession. Qu'est-ce que c'est? C'est bon, très vachement, le vélo. Everywhere you go,
le vélo.
Everyone you know,
le vélo.
On the road, in the club, everyone you know does.
Le vélo. It's impossible to stop
le vélo.
When you start to feel it. Can't you believe it, that the world needs it.
From the time I was born, there was nothing in life I wanted more. Just to be the best on the road and on the dance floor. You cannot stop me, my rhythm is contagious. You cannot touch me, my passion is so dangerous. Pure desire, take me higher. Pedal faster and faster, I'm floating with disaster. Cyclone. cycling, dancing, pumping, cycling, burning, dancing, cycling, party.
Le peloton, pedal over and over again, till we know it's right. We pedal over and over again, till we know it's right. Cause everywhere you go, and everyone you know, and the jour and the tour, everyone you know does le vélo. It's impossible to stop. When you stop to feel it, can't you believe it, that the whole world needs it? Cause everywhere you go, and everyone you know, on the road, in the club, everyone you know does le vélo. It's impossible to stop when you start to feel it. Can't you believe it, that the whole world needs it?
Le vélo.
That was Robin Moore.
Yeah, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5. Thanks for listening to Out There today. You can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeer.com/out there.
N'oublie pas ton casque. Signal à gauche et à droite. Arrête, regarde et écoute. À bicyclette. Suis le code de la route, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. Chaque fois qu'on monte en vélo. Si tu roules dans la rue et tu es perdu, ne panique pas, reviens sur tes pas. On fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. Chaque fois qu'on monte en vélo. N'oublie pas ton casque. Signale à gauche et à droite. Arrête, regarde et écoute. À bicyclette. Suis le code de la route, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. Chaque fois qu'on monte en vélo. Sois gentil, attends ton ami. Partage ton eau quand il fait chaud. On fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. Chaque fois qu'on monte en vélo. N'oublie pas ton casque. Signal à gauche et à droite. Arrête, regarde et écoute. À bicyclette. Suis le code de la route, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. Chaque fois qu'on monte en vélo. N'oublie pas ton casque. Signal à gauche et à droite. Arrête, regarde et écoute. À bicyclette. Suis le code de la route, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. À vélo, on fait le boogie. Chaque fois qu'on monte en vélo. On fait le boogie. Chaque fois qu'on monte en vélo. On fait le boogie. Chaque fois qu'on monte en vélo.
That's from Will's Jams. I don't speak French, but I know it said something about signal your turns, stop at stop signs, don't forget to wear your helmet, and boogie on your bike.